quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
Great googly moogly.
In his own inimitable style, we present...
Jason Ferry.
It's morning on the radio. It's Monday morning on the radio. Jason Fetty here. It's Daily Scramble Live, but Tyler's still away, so I thought I'd just play the old intro. Daniel Barnes is here. Hello, Daniel Barnes.
Good morning.
How are you?
This is a trip.
It's early, isn't it?
Well, not only that, we're a day out.
Because we should have been on last week.
We should have been here yesterday. I wasn't here yesterday, and now I'm here now.
Right, so it's your full English scramble this morning on KX93.5. Gonna have a guest a bit later on.
Ooh.
She's called Caitlin Lucia.
Ah.
And she does singing and that.
She's an artist,
a performer and an artist. We're going to talk about various acts of violence, the weather, play lots of music and hang out.
Acts of violent weather.
Yeah, exactly. News up next. Keep it here. It's KX93.5.
Your Daily Scramble News now.
Oh, your Daily Scramble News now. Jason Fetty in for Tyler Russell, who is actually driving a school bus across the country.
No way.
Seriously, I mean, he usually makes stuff up like he's divining for cheese in the mountains of Cheshire or, I don't know, knitting an
alpaca. Has he been to Cheshire?
I don't know if he's been to Cheshire. We should ask him when he comes back.
I bet he has.
I'll make up a story about where he's been, but this time I don't have to make it up. It's that interesting.
I have a feeling that he's not just driving a school bus across America. It's for a very good cause.
You think so?
I know so.
Well, let me tell you something. It's not for a good cause, other than his own personal benefit. He's starting a business, doing a thing. I'm not going to say what it is. He's just doing a thing, and he's got a bus, and he's driving it. I almost let it slip there. Do you see that?
I know of a bus that goes around and about, and it's a thing.
Right, well, that's what it is. It's a thing.
No, but do you know of that bus, the one I'm talking about?
The bus that goes around and about, and it's a thing.
Yeah, Green Tortoise. Have you ever heard of those buses?
No.
They're in San Francisco and Seattle. They go between San Francisco and Seattle. They have two hostels, and the hostels have those old school, like, prankster buses, you know, like the hippie buses.
Yeah.
Old school buses. Yeah. And they're a bit more modern than that. But the Green Tortoise is like that. It's a very cheap way to travel. You can sleep on the buses, and then when you get to Seattle, there's a hostel, and then there's one in San Francisco.
A hostel?
A hostel.
You'd think you'd go travel by hoss.
Yes. I'm sorry, mate. I have allergies this morning, so I sound a bit...
Daniel Barnes is here.
Yes.
I'm Jason Fetty. It's Daily Scramble Live. Here's your news. Local Laguna Beach news brought to you by the Laguna Beach Independent and us, KX93.5. Here you go. In the wake of several acts of vandalism at Laguna Beach schools, administrators plan to bolster security at all four campuses by installing surveillance cameras, according to Facilities Director Jeffrey Dixon. A request to determine the cost of such a system will be made at the next school board meeting, Tuesday, January 26, Dixon said. The plan is to keep the cost below $10,000. The consultation will include information on complying with laws and regulations and effective camera placement. The cameras have been attached to a software program that could be networked to the Laguna Beach Police Department where they can be monitored. The cameras could be accessed in the case of an active shooter incident taking place on any school as well. If approved, the first installation could take place at the high school where four acts of vandalism have taken place over the last 6 months, believe it or not. The most recent involved a New Year's Eve break-in where vandals sprayed fire retardant over lab equipment in science classrooms and wrote obscene graffiti on whiteboards. Oh. You're very quiet.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. The most destructive incident occurred last August when vandals smashed and destroyed the school's heating and air conditioning unit, which cost $9,000 to repair. Don't be smashing up your school, kids.
You know what? If you really want to be cool, if you really want to make a statement that's going to last forever, go beyond graffiti. Become an artist. Just become an artist. There's so many artists in New York and places like that, and they're allowed to say whatever they want to whoever they want. Their artwork's vulgar, but they have an audience, and they have a respectful audience because they do it on the right platform. Right. You don't break education.
It's about being appropriate, kids, lads.
I vandalised the school. I know how bad it is. I felt terrible. Not this school.
Bum, 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 morning. Daily Scramble Live, it's KX93.5. Of course, I'm Jason Fetty. Good morning. Put that cigar out. And wipe your mouth.
All right.
KX93.5's Daily Scramble Live. I'm here this morning because Tyler's driving a bus.
Tyler?
He's driving a bus. Hi, Tyler. It's full English scramble this morning, actually, with Daniel Barnes and I. Mike Walburn will be in a bit later on. And you just heard the sound of banter there out of Echo Park, Los Angeles. Oop. And a song called Someday. And my headphones have come unplugged.
What are you doing?
Just talk for a minute, Dan.
All right. So who's doing what, did you say?
Nobody's doing anything. What's that What's that story you're going to tell about how you smashed up your school and got
in
trouble?
I didn't smash it up, but I remember on one occasion in the science department setting it on fire. I got to be careful because I've just realised there's people I went to school with listen to this because of this social media and networking. There's people listening right now who are thinking, yeah, I remember when he set the science lab on fire. You know that trough that they used to have in the middle of the desk in the Grange Hill style school? It was like a trough.
What was it for?
In the chemistry department, for putting waste chemicals in.
Down the trough.
Right, the cough trough, because we used to spit in it and fill it. And it'd get full of all this toxic waste and hand towels. And I said one day, you know, we should just light this.
Okay.
Right. But it was really compacted with a lot of hand towels and chemicals and experiments. And it went up. It went up really well.
There we go.
There wasn't a big separation of difference between lighting that fire and working on a fun fair.
Which is what you did next, right? You worked on in a circus.
That's where I went to do my musical training.
Well, really?
Yeah.
At the fair?
Yeah.
So, wait a minute. What were the repercussions for... you got thrown out of school for setting fire to the chemistry lab. Is that what you... Yeah.
No, actually, I actually got thrown out of school for something else, but that was part of it.
Right.
And it wasn't, you know what, thrown out is such a harsh term. It wasn't like I was thrown out. I actually liked the head teacher.
Right.
I went for a meeting with him.
It was, right.
And I saw his side of it.
Yes.
He said to me, do you want to go home? And do you want to stay home? And do you want to enjoy all the freedom of Dronfield Woodhouse with a new kind of outlook on life?
Yeah.
And I said, is that possible? He said, yeah, just sign this.
Sign this, go home.
And he says, there you go. Tell your granddad I said hi.
So it was a mutual thing, really.
It was, but I was very interested. I was really more into the whole deal than I think he was.
Right.
I could see how heartbroken he was.
Really? Well, from his point of view, it was probably a lot of paperwork. You know, when you throw a child out of school.
Well, there is now, but I mean, back then it was pretty simple. The 90s changed a lot of things. They got me just before, I mean, they got me right on the edge of corporal punishment and paperwork.
That's you and me, Daniel. We're both that way out.
I should imagine while you were getting beaten in Leeds, I was getting beaten in Dronfield.
Yeah, but we both live on the cusp.
Pretty much.
Yeah. It's KX93.5. When we come back, I'm going to talk about that big tent thing. At the top of the 73.
It's massive.
73 and the 405, there's a great big tent up there.
It's bigger than three cruise ships, it's bigger than the Circus LA, and you can actually, that tent can fit California into it 17 times.
Wow, they say it's the biggest thing in the world.
It's insane.
The website says it. Every 5 minutes it says, the biggest this, the biggest that. It's the biggest touring thing in the world, for sure.
They can fly the biggest plane through it. The Russian transporter, the TN-225, can actually fly through this thing.
It's bigger than everything.
It's huge. Yeah. It's massive.
All right, here's some music. We'll talk about that in a minute. It's KX93.5. It's Daily Scramble Live. Oh, he's a guilty pleasure for me, that Brett Denon. KX93.5! I just can't help. I can't help it. I can't help loving him.
You got all excited.
I know.
Brett Denon makes you what? What was that term?
I don't know. Well, it's a bit twee. It's twee pop music, but I like him and I like it. And what are you going to do? He's been on this show, you know.
Hey, I love that kind of thing. Yeah. I like poppy music.
You like the poppy pop?
I was just listening to Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't.
You weren't.
No. Kind of looked at him. I looked at him and, you know, Dougie's like the new stance he's got. He's got this like, he does a look back now. He
looks back over his shoulder.
You know, they all have a look back period where it's like, I'm going to look back at you.
Yeah.
Bieber's looking back.
Bieber. Well, he's looking over his shoulder. He's getting old, you see. He's looking over his shoulder.
Well, how old is he now?
Looking back at his life. He must be 22.
Yeah, he got roasted. I mean, so he's got to be up there with Lucille Ball and Dean Martin, right?
At least them.
If you've had a celebrity roast, you're in your, well, like, we were talking about Clint, 85.
Has he been, like, roasted on the telly, like a proper roast?
Yes, like a proper roast. I sat watching it. It was absolutely ridiculous.
Was it?
The people doing it thought it was ridiculous. The only reason they were there was they're associating themselves with something that's been looked at.
Yeah. Well, he's very...
I'm getting paid.
He's very popular. And he was in town not long ago, and he went to the Marine Room. And Brittany Ryan, who's the manageress of the Marine Room Tavern here
right.
in town, told a story on the air, so I think I can repeat it.
Go on.
That Justin Bieber got hold of her hand, dragged her outside, and snogged her.
Right.
He properly kissed her.
He's quite a lad.
She hasn't washed her face since.
Do you know I met him in the valet area at the Montage?
Did you really?
Yeah, he was waiting for his car and I was stood next to him and he thought I was cool. That's he mean. Said, you're cool, are you British? I said, yeah. He goes, what do you do? I said, I'm the lead singer of Oasis.
You're a bugger, Daniel Barnes.
I know.
So there's this thing in the canyon I wanted to talk about.
It's actually out of the canyon. Isn't you mean the tent?
I mean the biggest thing in the world that's ever been.
I was flabbergasted. I couldn't scale it when I saw it.
Hard when you drive by, yeah. So it's a big tent and it's on the corner of the 73, what's that called, toll road and
right.
the 405 freeway.
The 405, we sound right. like Californians.
Well, that's where we're at, isn't it?
Right.
It's called, what it is it's a thing called Cavalier. I know a lot of people are wondering about this. And
they
it's
are.
Like the kind of thing where you go, I wonder about that, but you don't bother Googling it.
I've already, you know, the conspiracy people are already calling me thinking it's a FEMA camp for bodies if there's a tsunami.
No, thank goodness it's not that. It's a no. hoss show.
A hoss show?
Yeah, it's a dog and pony show without the dogs.
Whoa.
It's just ponies. It's horses. And they're calling it a hoss ballet.
This is what I've been told about this horse ballet.
It says, often labelled as an equestrian ballet, combines advanced technology and the fundamental relationship that humans have developed with horses throughout time. That doesn't sound right to me.
I don't think they'll be performing in France.
Well, why? Because the French eat horses?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Delightful, thrilling and poignant. It's a harmonious celebration of beauty. Well, you know what? I'm going to call these people in a bit. I'm not going to do it on the air, but I'm going to call these people in a bit and see if I can get some free tickets for the
lads. Do you know they're expensive, so if you can do it, I mean...
Actually, they start $30, but I don't know what your seats are like at $30.
Oh, I thought they were like thousands. It was like going to see Starlight Express.
Or Elton John
whatever. Playing his red piano.
Yeah. No, it's not. They start at $30, but I think you have to sit 2.5 miles back from the stage. $30.
You've got to, because the place is immense.
It says on the website, it's the biggest thing there has ever been.
I can believe that.
Yeah. Hey, it's Daily Scramble Live. Tyler's away at the moment. He's knitting a rug.
On a bus?
An alpaca rug with llamas.
Yeah?
In the mountains of somewhere.
Wow.
Yeah, he's driving a bus. Scrambling around to do Daily Scramble Live here. It's KX93.5. I'm Jason Fedde, and that man over there... is Daniel Barnes.
Hello.
How are you?
Why are you throwing microphone covers at me? This is hilarious. You went into a complete frenzy again.
Well, I was like, oh, we're on.
Don't panic.
Hey, there's been some news around Orange County. Big news, actually, that I just found. I just realised it. Three escaped detainees.
Oh, no.
Described as very dangerous.
Oh, great.
Used tools that have been smuggled into Central Men's Jail in Santa Ana. And enjoyed a roughly 16-hour head start before they were discovered missing, according to the Orange County Sheriff's Department.
Oh, this is terrible.
Three guys on the loose. They're on the loose.
Eek!
They cut through a steel grate, half-inch steel bars, and a load of plumbing tunnels early Friday before making their way to an unsecured part of the jail's roof and using makeshift ropes to rappel. They rappelled.
Oh, they were rappelling?
Yeah, they rappelled.
They didn't plussicate?
Couldn't, no. Just rappelled. They didn't bungee jump.
Right.
Several floors to the ground, apparently. The public should presume they're armed. They had some tools. So if some lads show up today knocking on the door and say, can we sort out your plumbing, love?
We're tooled off.
You want to...
Did you say there were three of them?
There's three of them. They weren't found to be missing until 9 o'clock Friday during the second daily head count, which was supposed to have started at 8 p.m., was delayed by an altercation, possibly staged to help delay the discovery of the escape. So maybe the whole lot of the inmates were in on it.
I think they were.
Could have
been. It's like a lottery thing. They get a big group and they say, all right, who's going over the top?
Who decides to go, yeah.
Who's going over the top? That's the term.
Take me with you. Take me with you.
Even if you build a tunnel, the term is going, who's going over the wire?
Right. Take me with you.
Don't leave me here.
I can see perfectly.
Would you try, if you were in jail, I'd totally try and escape.
Yeah, right, totally. Why would you stick around?
I'd use humour.
You can, would you?
Yeah. I'd jump my way out of jail.
You reckon you could do it?
I'd just be funny boy behind the garden gone.
Just but lend us your keys for a minute. Come on.
Oh, you want to. Swap him at like 20 Benson and Edges for the key.
Yep. I think it's probably doable in jail, that.
Do you know when you started reading that at the beginning, it sounded very much like the opening to that TV show, The A-Team, in 1979, a crack commando unit of them.
Right, yeah. Well, that's what I tried to make it sound like, serious news.
It was serious news.
Rewards have been offered, $20,000 by the FBI and $30,000 by the US Marshals Service, were red-faced.
Just so people know, you know, if you have information that can lead to this, that's not the final figure.
Isn't it?
No, it's not even close. They say $20,000, you can actually call them up and haggle.
Really?
Yeah, you can call them and say, right now, I have information to the whereabout. Not me, Daniel Barnes, but I'm talking hypothetically.
I can get it.
And if you say to them, I know exactly where they are, I know that what their arms are and what position they're... If you can provide the whole information, you get to name your price.
Well, it says it's $20,000... And 30, so that's $50,000 for information leading to the capture of the three men. Now, wait a minute. If they get captured.
Right.
And you say, well, I told you where they were.
Right.
They can say, no, you didn't.
They have the phone records.
Right, but they can still say, well, you didn't.
No, you sign it off. It's a big deal. When you actually get reward money from things like this, it's a big deal when you get reward money.
Right, but it's your word against them, isn't it? When it comes down to it, when you say, hey, excuse me, where's my $50,000? And they go, what $50,000?
No, but don't forget, you're dealing with the police service. They wouldn't lie.
Oh, of course they wouldn't. That's right. Sorry, Dan. You're absolutely right, buddy. I got it all wrong.
On KX93.5, your daily scramble news now.
It's your daily scramble news at just after 10 past 8 in the morning here on KX93.5. News, local news brought to you by the Laguna Beach Independent and KX93.5. In the wake of several acts of vandalism at Laguna Beach schools, administrators plan to bolster security at all four campuses by installing surveillance cameras, according to Facilities Director Jeffrey Dixon. A request to determine the cost of such a system will be made at the next school board meeting on Tuesday, January 26th. The plan is to keep the cost below $10,000. The consultation will include information on complying with laws, regulations, effective camera placement. The cameras have got this software program that could be networked to the Laguna Beach Police Department where they can be monitored. Cameras could be accessed in case of an active shooter incident taking place on any school as well, said Dixon. If approved, the first installation would take place at the high school where four acts of vandalism have taken place over the last 6 months. The most recent involved a New Year's Eve break-in where vandals sprayed fire retardant over lab equipment in science classrooms and wrote obscene graffiti on whiteboards. The most destructive incident occurred last August when vandals smashed and destroyed the school's heating and air conditioning unit, which cost $9,000 to repair. My co-host this morning is Daniel Barnes. Daniel Barnes set fire to a science lab once at school, didn't you, sir? Hang on a minute, turn your mic on. There you go, lad.
That wasn't actually the microphone, it was my voice. I'd run out of steam.
So you set for, now, that, you see, if we'd have combined these two incidents, New Year's Eve in Laguna,
right,
and 25 years ago at your old school in Sheffield, they've got the fire retardant in your thing, it would have been a total, it'd been fine, everything fine.
There's a parallel of justification where you can make everything work out, but I regretted what I did straight away.
You know,
it was a prank, it was a joke, like on every occasion. These guys who have done this.
Yeah, not fully.
No, this is very, very premeditated. I don't want to put a downer on it, but you know what? This isn't on. I've waited years to say that. This is just not on.
Is that you making amends to the world?
Yes.
Didn't you just get a text? Read that text from that lovely person, your old schoolmate. So Dan told this story.
Keep talking because it's in the world of farce.
About how he set fire to his classroom for a prank when he was at school many years ago. And the classroom burned down. And repercussions were that Dan got slung out of school. Now, one of his old school friends has been listening and has said as follows.
Get this.
Yeah.
What am I looking for?
You're looking for that.
Here we go. Yeah. Now, the funny thing is, where are we?
Oh, it's a belter if you can find it. It's a text from his old schoolmate who was there when said fire occurred all those years ago in Sheffield.
I will find it. I've got it here somewhere.
All right, we'll play a record and we'll come back to that. And also, in a few minutes' time, Sly Dog's going to be on the phone doing the surf report.
Yeah.
It's your Daily Scramble Live. A little bit different this morning. It's been full English scramble so far with myself, Jason Ferry, Daniel Barnes has been here. Tyler's away. He's knitting yoghurt in Kathmandu is what he's doing.
Weaving yoghurt
in Kathmandu, so that's nice for him. He should be back tomorrow. Hopefully, we'll see. Daniel Barnes and I have been talking.
We have.
And Daniel set fire to his chemistry lab when he was a kid at school, and he got a letter. Have you got the thing?
I have the info. I actually texted it to you just so, you know, I'm efficient now.
No, I want you
You've
to
got me in order, but
all right,
here
so
we
got,
go.
You got a letter from a guy who you were at school with who was there.
This is his wife.
When the chemistry lab burned down. Okay.
Right.
So, go ahead.
From Joe Robinson Scott to Ronald Dinger.
Yeah.
Great to hear your dullest tones, Dan. I remember the school getting rather warm that day, smiley face. In your defence, they wouldn't have the spangly new building with amazing facilities if it wasn't for you, X. Thank you.
Well, that's putting a positive little light on it. I like it very much.
I improved the school by burning it down.
I don't think he means your dullest tones. I think he means your dulcet tones.
Oh, is that what it was?
You said dullest.
Yeah, maybe I should bring my reading glasses.
Yeah. It's Daniel Barnes, or a.k.a. Ronald Dinger, if you're looking for him on Facebook. All right, now, it's wonderful this morning because I get to do whatever I want, and it's a pure sausage fest. Michael Waldman is here.
So it's full English wardrobe.
It's full English scramble.
And wardrobe.
We're not doing a wardrobe this morning.
No. Mike, if I'm here, it must be the wardrobe.
Well, Mike Waldman usually does a slot called Waldman's Wardrobe of Musical Wonderfulness.
Oh.
He usually does it on a Tuesday. Are you coming back tomorrow to do it, Mike?
I certainly am.
All right, great, good. So that's something very much to look forward to. There's news in the news, all right? So what I'll do is play a record, and then we'll come back. We'll talk about a big news story in the news. Marvellous. That's what we do on the radio, isn't it? Just talk rubbish.
We do.
Okay.
Daily Scramble, Daily Scramble Live.
Yeah, it's your Daily Scramble Live. Let's go over to Sly Dog's on the phone with a surf report. Hi, Sly.
Good morning. This is Sly Diggity Dog coming at you live and direct from the Supersonic Surf Shacky. Good morning. See you in town.
Morning, mate.
We got a little surf report for you this morning. What a great run in January. We've had so much surf. It's been nonstop, and the waves continue today. A little smaller than it was yesterday. Be a little smaller the next couple days until it starts ramping back up towards Thursday, Friday, and the weekend. There should be some more good-sized waves coming in, but water's still a little bit nippy, high 50s. We got a high tide around 9:23 this morning, a real high tide, almost a six-point high tide, and we got a low tide, really low, around 4:20. This afternoon, so yeah, you'd probably find a good little window in Laguna maybe around lunchtime, but other than that, your best bet's probably going down to Salt Creek or San Diego or heading up to Ventura and getting some real waves.
What about the weather in the air?
It's going to be a glorious sunny day out there. The wind's not supposed to pick up too much. It's going to be a little brisk this morning, but I think we're supposed to have some nice weather in the next few days, so get your shorts back out, put some sandals back on, and, live the Laguna Beach dream.
Daily Scramble, Daily.
Yeah, it's Daily Scramble Live. It's KX 93.5. You are listening to the sound of Jason Fetty. Here I am. Hello. And also on the air today, Mr. Daniel Barnes.
Hello.
Good day. And also on the air today, Mr. Michael Waldman.
Greetings.
Hey, Mike, what's this brilliant news story from last
night?
Well,
if you were on Main Beach last night at about 11:15, something very interesting happened. A woman driving down Broadway got to the T right where PCH comes in, and didn't realize that there was a beach in front of her and kept driving, drove up on the sand.
Oh, that's lovely. I wonder how many times that's happened in history. People just drive straight onto the beach.
Not surprisingly, police arrested the woman on suspicion of driving under the influence.
Ah,
wow, that's great.
There we go. Now, there's a little insider. So,
I love it.
To all the other people who don't drive on the beach, they also have something in common with the ones who do drive onto the beach. The ones who don't drive onto the beach haven't been drinking margaritas all night.
That's probably very true. That's hilarious. So, She was all right, though, was she? Or what happened?
Everybody was fine. She just hit the curb, but, you know, there's a curb there.
Right.
And then there's, I think there's some grass, and then there's some
sand. There's some beach, and there's some sea.
It's where Frisbee Man usually hangs out.
Right.
Frisbee Man could have been killed.
Oh, my God. What would we do without him?
What would we do without Frisbee Guy?
Frisbee Guy on the beach there.
But you know what? There's a hula hoop girl up in Venice Beach looking for a new gig. I shouldn't say that because I know Blair very well. He's sweet.
Blair, is that his name?
Blair McManus, local and legend.
Yeah, he flips around a frisbee on the beach. I don't know what he does exactly.
Do you know he once had a Kinko's franchise in Boat Canyon? And it was notorious for getting... You could go there because he had a keg buried in the ground
right in
front of it. Blair will love me telling this story. And all the locals used to go around there to do the copying. And they just get have a drink with Blair.
Wow.
Frisbee Man.
Apparently he had a real mission in life and closed down the Kinko's so that he could play Frisbee on the beach.
He certainly did close it down with passion.
Wow, so that's it. That's Blair. I don't know anything about him. I'm not sure I really wanted to know.
His brother was a very good surfer.
You see, this is all too much. I like to think of him as very two-dimensional.
He is.
Frisbee Guy.
Frisbee Guy, that's all he is.
Frisbee
to me.
Guy.
That's all I want to know.
I could be lying. He could be like Clark Kent and Superman. No one really knows.
No one knows what he really does.
No one's there in the room when he does it.
He's Frisbee Man during the day, and at night, he works at Kinko's.
Not quite.
Super copier. Wow. So a woman hit the curb. It's quite a high curb, actually, isn't it, down there?
Yep.
And maybe, so she probably didn't get
very far. Caused damage to her car.
Yeah.
There's really nothing else you could say about it. You're that drunk that you can't see the Pacific Ocean. It's time. It's time to be arrested.
It's time to get cut off, yeah.
Isn't it just?
There's some weather around the world. The weather today, as Sly Dog just reported, isn't that bad at all. It's nice and sunny here. No big deals at all. There's a travel ban in New York City, which has now ended as the eastern U.S. begins digging out from the snowstorm. The storm has been dubbed Snowmageddon.
Did you?
I don't go over the top. Snowzilla.
Did you listen to the news? If you were to go out and drive in New York, what would happen to you? You will be arrested. Your car will be impounded. I was listening to them, and I'm like, are they serious? When the chief of police announces, like, if you're to be out on the streets at this time, your car will be taken. You will be arrested.
Well, that's because they need space for the socialist snowplows.
Yeah, but they didn't mention anything about people with drones. And Jeep Wranglers snowboarding. Did you see that guy on YouTube snowboarding down Fifth Avenue, being pulled on the back of a Jeep Wrangler?
No,
brilliant!
It was brilliant.
Very funny. Very good. Well, you know, it's got a bit of fun if it's -90 degrees.
What are you going to do?
Yeah. Anyway, in DC, the metro is closed. All travel in the region faces further disruption. 7,000 flights were cancelled across the eastern U.S. During the weekend, and disruption is to continue into the working week, with at least 615 flights cancelled for today.
Oh, my.
So, just, you know, avoid it. And you know what? My advice, live in California.
Right.
Well, today's a great day on the East Coast because nobody's working. Everybody has off. All the kids are home.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful snow outside, so it's a fun day.
It was great having snow days at school. We'd have them all the time.
Everybody's at home or at an airport eating buffalo wings, watching reruns of I Love Lucy.
Good. Well, good for them. I'm sure it's great for the economy.
I think we need a snow day here.
We do.
They have ski week. The kids go on ski week.
Right.
Here. When is ski week? Must be coming up.
I think it is, yeah. And that's when they all go to, like, Big Bear, Mammoth.
Yeah.
Sometimes Utah, I guess.
Tahoe.
I mean, the really, really, really lucky children. They get to go to ski week in, like, Sweden or...
Yeah, they're having a ball, aren't they?
Oh, they are. They're loving it.
Yeah. All right, good. Play a record, and then we'll come back and talk about other things in the news. It's KX93.5. Unfortunately, Kane and Lucia were supposed to come in a little later and do some songs, but she's got food poisoning.
Oh, no.
She can't come in. So we'll just play music and chat and chinwag and have a bit of fun. It's KX93.5. It's your daily scramble live. KX93.5. It's KX93.5. It's Laguna's only FM radio station. I'm feeling awake now. I feel more awake than I did before. Oh, no, you're on. There you go. You're on.
I was doing that thing, you know, that Norman Collier used to do. It was dark when we arrived.
Yeah, I know. It's early. It's an early morning.
I love this. It's like an adventure.
Do you hit the snooze button?
Never.
You're not a snoozy boy?
There's no snooze button on me, mate.
Really?
No, I put my alarm clock across. Normally, I wake up at 5 a.m., whatever.
Yeah.
And If I'm up, I'm up. That's it. But if I have to set an alarm and I'm tired, I put it purposely as far away as I can across the room. And it's an old style one that you wind up with the bells that go...
Bells on the top.
One of those.
Yeah.
So I have to get up, walk across the room, smack myself in the head four times to stop it.
Right.
And then I'm good.
Well, see, I snooze, and that's probably not a good idea. What about you, Mike? Snooze or no snooze?
I am brilliant. I just set a little alarm in my head.
Me too.
I wake up exactly the right time.
Ugh, I hate you. Yes. Really?
Is that thank true? I should be hated, thank
is
you.
That true?
I can do the, yes, I do the same thing. True. I can say, if I've got to be up at 5 past 5, I'll say 5 past 5, and I usually wake up at like 5 to 5.
Oh, no. I would sleep. If I didn't set that alarm, I would be asleep at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Could you sleep all day?
No, because there's a certain... As the hours go by, the guilt builds up.
That's exactly right. I was going to say, you're Jewish, you're filled with guilt.
I have to get up and shake the guilt out.
No, the guilt quilt.
Yeah, I have to get up. I'm covered by a guilt quilt, yeah. Ah, dear. So
what's a day without guilt?
It's not a Jewish day, that's for sure. Anyway, so we've got things to talk about here. What about Australia?
What about Australia?
You mind if I say this? Do this in an Australian accent?
We got very good at it at one point upon a time.
Australia's state and territory leaders
have
signed a document in support of the country becoming a republic.
Cryogenics.
They're going to ditch the Queen.
The Queen?
The old Queen, yeah.
You mean the monarch or the guy that dances down at the Nag's Head?
No, I mean the monarch. The monarch.
The monarch of the Glen?
Australia currently operates, it says here, as a constitutional monarchy. The Queen officially listed as head of state, represented by a governor-general. But they're saying they're going to get rid of her. I mean, they should vote for their own head of state, really, shouldn't they? Don't you think?
Jason Donovan.
They do vote for their own... Well, they vote for the governmental head of state,
right,
not the ceremonial head of state.
Right. But the actual... She's listed as the head of state.
Ah.
You know what I mean? So she's the head of state.
I want to be in the...
You can pick your side if you want, or you can get a bit sort of, you know, pedantic, but she's the head of state. A lot of people want rid of her.
Do you know how Australians, they sound two ways, don't they? They either sound really confident, really cocky, or kind of a little bit embarrassed and awkward. You know, like British people do. So could you imagine the Australian attaché that they send over to Buckingham Palace to, like, present the news. It's like, if you're going to make a point, you've got to come to us.
Right, OK. What, does he arrive on horseback?
No, it's intimidation. So the guy arrives at Buckingham Palace and like, jeepers, it doesn't look this big on my fridge magnet.
Right. Think
and then it's like, she's just sat there. Oh, yeah, it's like, they bring him in past all the guards that, even though they're in that traditional wear, they're now armed to the teeth. So he has to go through all that, and he sits and says, right, you Manchester, I kind of changed my mind. We're going to keep going with the same programme.
Do you think they're nervous like that? Do you think because of the way they're brought up and taught, they've got a sort of fear of the Queen and all that ermine and stuff? I don't think so these days. Surely not.
Maybe not, but it's a stereotype.
Yeah, it's going away anyway, I think, because the last time they voted against becoming a republic. That was 1999.
Right.
And now they are saying that many of... the territory leaders, state and territory leaders, are in favour of becoming a republic. It's about time they did. Then they can do their own thing.
Exactly.
Get the Queen's head off the stamps.
Right.
You know what I mean?
What about... what was I going to say? In 1999, when they last did this whole thing,
yeah.
Was John Major Prime Minister then?
I have no idea.
I can't even remember. No, I don't care.
No, neither do I.
John Major. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
He was like a bag of frozen peas.
He was, but he came after Thatcher, didn't he? So, he was sort of in the shadow of her.
It's kind of like it's like going on after Billy Joel, isn't it? You're just not going to happen.
You've been to Australia, Mike?
Beautiful there. Beautiful. I spent a couple weeks there last year.
Oh, yeah.
Followed Springsteen around on tour.
Ah.
Had a great time. Beautiful people. But you know what's interesting? I was just reading about this whole thing. It's really an Asian place. Australia is becoming... Yep. The center of Asia. So I can't imagine why Australians want to be attached to Britain. It's a whole world away, has nothing to do with Asia.
Right, it doesn't sort of reflect the reality of what Australia is today.
Exactly. No. But if I was a 20-year-old guy, I'd move there tomorrow.
Yeah.
Land of opportunity. Beautiful.
Yeah, lockdown. It's funny that there's so much opportunity when there's... What's going on there, really, except for, I don't know, kangaroos and stuff? Why is it?
Because, first of all, it's empty.
Right.
There's very few people. Yeah, there's very few people. And it's because It is the Anglo center of Asia. It's going to become economically significant.
Have they got much in the way of natural resources? They've got coal.
Yeah,
as much as the United States.
Really.
And other things.
They've got the new stuff as well, haven't they? They've got the new things that we need, like lithium for batteries and stuff like that, I think.
Yeah, they have lithium.
And because
mines.
The British were there, they have an amazing infrastructure.
Right, so they've got all the institutions and everything set up.
Yeah.
They have kombucha springs.
They've got it. They're really sort of forward thinking as well. My wife's gluten free, and she went to Australia, and she said they've got it really nailed down there. They've got gluten free everything.
Right, exactly. You don't need gluten. Ava's so ahead of the game.
She's into it. So there you go. All right, it's KX93.5 coming up to 9 o'clock. Do the news. Oh no, you know what?
I thought this was the news.
We're doing the news now. We're not doing more local news. We did that thing about the car that smashed into Main Beach.
Right.
We've done the $10,000 cameras at the high school.
The Frisbee guy's still alive.
So.
I want to know if anybody was on Main Beach last night when the woman crashed in.
Wow.
If you're out there, call in. I want to hear what happened.
Yeah, too right. If you want to call us or text us, it's 949-715-5936. It's your Daily Scramble Live. It's KX93.5.
KX93.5.
Indeed. KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. It's been Daily Scramble Live. Tyler's been away, so I just thought I'd do my own thing, get my pals in. Dan's here, Daniel Barnes, and Mike Waldman. We've just been talking about what people think. Apparently, many of the Australians who suffer under the yoke of the Queen of England don't even know she's the Queen or the head of state.
Only half of the country. So in 2009, the Brits did a survey of everybody that was part of the Commonwealth to find out how they feel about the Commonwealth. It was like the 75th anniversary of the Commonwealth.
And the Commonwealth is like, it's like the British Empire light. It's happened after the empire really fell apart.
It's India, it's Jamaica, it's Malaysia, it's Canada, it's South Africa. Yeah. They interviewed 6,000 people.
Right.
6,000 people. And they were asking them whether or not they would be upset if your country left the Commonwealth. And only 25% of Australians polled said they would be sorry if they gave up the membership. And 9% said they would be delighted.
Right.
So most people really want to just leave the Commonwealth from Australia.
Or they don't care. They're just not interested. 9% would be delighted. So they're strong nationalists, patriotic Australians, want rid of the Queen. 25% just didn't even know she was there. And 70-odd percent, or 60-whatever percent, just really don't have much of an opinion about it at all.
But here's my favorite part of the poll, is that a quarter of Jamaicans think that President Barack Obama is the head of the Commonwealth. So you have to be smoking some heavy-duty stuff.
You're smoking a lot of weed.
Who's the head of the Commonwealth? Barack Obama.
That's great. But it's easy to laugh at other nations because they don't know things or they do know things. There's some pretty wicked or wacky statistics about what people know in this country. One, there's some, like a third of Americans believe in angels.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So, you know, that's the great thing about the internet. You could look up in just a moment that you can 25 incredible things that Americans believe.
You can find out really quickly how stupid we all are.
Come on, let's have a couple.
Let's have a couple of these as I play the intro to this next song.
Well, let's see. Well, you know, the more controversial ones is that you've got 33% of Americans think that Saddam Hussein was personally involved in the 9/11 attack.
Right, which we all know, of course, he wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah. A third of Americans believe that sexual orientation is a choice.
Wow.
So that's a couple of interesting things.
When did you make your choice, Mike? The day I got married to my wife.
I was sure the day I was married that this was going to work out just fine.
Ridiculous. You know, and also the evolution thing, where there's still a debate in this country about whether or not evolution is factual. It's a weird thing to say, of course, about any theory. But in Britain, Charles Darwin's on the £5 note. He's on the money.
I think Phoebe explained evolution in one of the episodes of Friends to Ross, the scientist.
Is that
the
where
doctor.
You get your information from?
Most of it, yeah. Everything up to season six, and then it got silly.
Stop. Here's David Bowie.
Is that chicken guy off the internet that goes, bah, bah! I hate that guy. He's like trying to be something and everybody knows he's not.
No. These guys are very earnest. They
to be
really
real.
No. I don't know who he is. I don't know who that voice is. But the band are very believable, and they really are.
Oh, I like the band.
They're full of, like, the joys of, you know, experimenting with themselves.
Sound like they're full of lentils.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, it's organic, man. I'm a vegetarian. I like their sound. It's fresh.
That's the way they are, exactly like
that. I can smell the burlap and the evenings of patchouli and...
Exactly.
Jars full of fireflies.
Something like that.
Yeah. Alcohol-free bourbon.
Something like that. You know, a lot of people do a lot of things in this country. A lot of people believe a lot of weird things, don't they, Mike?
We're still talking about what Americans believe.
Sure. Yeah.
According to the Pew Foundation...
Pew!
33... Pew Foundation?
That's easy for Pew to say. 33% of Americans believe in ghosts, and 18% have seen them. How about you, Mr. Fetty?
I've never seen a ghost.
Have you ever seen a ghost, Mr. Barnes?
I have seen 33% of a ghost, and I've seen 18% of an American ghost.
Okay.
I've made love to one.
You did?
Yeah.
And a third of Americans believe...
What? That doesn't count, by the way.
What doesn't?
They believe that aliens exist and have visited our planet.
All right, I'll take that one. I've made love to an alien.
Have any of you ever seen a UFO?
Yes.
No.
You guys aren't doing the right drugs. I've seen ghosts and UFOs.
I've seen ghosts.
What's wrong with you?
I'm sorry. I thought you said goat.
Goats. The men who see goats.
So if we backstep to what he said, which was I made love to a ghost, and he was under the assumption that we were talking about goats, what Jason actually said was he made love to a goat.
I understand. 7% of Americans believe that the moon landing did not happen.
What do you reckon? I don't think it did.
Really?
No. Well, I think it's interesting. It's the same amount of people who believe that Elvis is still alive.
Right.
So.
What?
Yeah. Jason Petty is stunned. He's stunned. He can't even say
it. Very rarely speechless, but it shocks me that people that many people don't believe in the moon landings, and they do believe in ghosts, and they believe in aliens.
You have a friend who doesn't believe in the moon landing.
Who's that then?
Mr. Stone, Evan Stone.
Oh, no, but he's a lunatic. That's a whole different thing.
Right, but I mean...
Is it different, or is that who the people...
Well, he's affected by Coast to Coast like a lot of people. I like Coast to Coast radio with George Nouri and all that crazy
stuff.
We've
got our own here. We don't have to go to that.
Right, no. We don't have to do that.
We've got Awakening Code Radio on this very radio station. We're into that sort of thing.
26% of Americans still believe in witchcraft.
Wow. It's amazing.
According to Gallup.
What do they believe witchcraft does?
The same as Bewitched.
What's it for? What are you on about?
Elizabeth Montgomery.
We went on this thing at Halloween, you know, Tyler and I went ghost hunting on Halloween.
Where did
with
you...
a bunch of very... Oh, up in Silverado Canyon here. And there's old silver mines there and stuff. So I suppose it's kind of spooky, but it was dark. But it wasn't that dark because the moon was very bright.
That's a spooky place up there.
Well, it was. It's just
dark. Did you
see
the old farm? Where all the murders happened?
There's no murders. It's not true. None of it's true. And it's just dark. And it's I spent a lot of time in the woods when I was a kid.
Yeah, but that wasn't your choice.
It was my choice.
Oh.
What are you talking about?
That shed that your parents put you in.
Shoved in a shed.
Oh, I thought you were going to give us the Hansel and Gretel thing. Your dad's like, we're going to play this game. You're going to love this. It's called Orientation.
Yeah, they put a map in me lunchbox.
And a broken compass.
Almost 25% of Americans believe that they've lived before and they've been reincarnated. They were actually somebody else beforehand.
Oh, they're the very chakra-based people who can touch into their previous lives and, you know, the...
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
How about you? Have you been here before?
Never been here before.
You ever hear somebody say, oh, he's
never been here and never coming back.
You've heard people say, oh, he's a very old soul or he's a very young soul.
Yeah, they're tired.
They're talking about they've been here before.
Well, it's okay if you're sort of using it as a metaphor. Like, it makes sense when you say somebody's an old soul because they seem wise beyond their years or something like that. I get that. But not that it's literally an old soul.
Yeah, well,
I mean, there's no such thing as a soul.
What?
A very, you know what?
26% of Americans believe there is a soul.
It's nonsense.
It's a very good way of establishing a character for yourself, saying I'm an old soul. It's like, it's a very acceptable way of saying I'm negative. You know, I've seen it all before, I'm jaded. A good way of saying I'm an old soul is saying I'm a dun. You know, I'm an old soul. What's an old soul?
I don't know.
No, I don't know.
I think
either.
It's useful.
Sorry.
If you could bring the money with you. If you could bring it from one life to a next life, then that might be okay.
Listen, there's a boot shop on the... King's Road in London.
Booth?
Called R Souls.
R Souls?
With an R, just the letter R. Then it says Souls.
Mm-hmm.
R Souls. I'm not an old soul. I'm an old arsehole.
Oh, bump, bump.
Oh, they're going to get you. There's no doubt about that. That's John Otway on KX93.5. Beware the Flowers. I don't play that very much these days, but, you know, it's my day. Tyler's away. Do what I want.
Ah.
Okay, here's a news story. This is a news story. I've been dying to get to this news story all morning. Health insurance. Actually, it's about pharmaceutical companies, really. The former Turing Pharmaceutical CEO, Marcin, his name is Shkreli, has asked for immunity in order to testify before a US congressional hearing. He's been subpoenaed to testify about a 5,000% price increase for a drug. Mr. Shkreli's lawyer asked for immunity because of the ongoing Federal Trade Commission investigation into the price rise. So there's already an investigation going. Let me tell you what he did. The FTC's allegedly investigating antitrust violation by Turing Pharmaceuticals when it raised the price of the drug Daraprim. What's Daraprim, you ask? Well, here it is. Daraprim is used to treat toxoplasmosis, an infection common in people with AIDS. So this is a drug that's given to people who are already suffering, right? The it says the drug was invented in the 1950s and acquired by Turing for $50 million in 2015. In August, Turing increased Daraprim's price, listen to this, from it was $13.50 a dose. Now, $750 a dose. That's a $5,000 price increase.
I read about this guy.
Right, so this guy's a douchebag.
Mm-hmm.
And he's increased the price of this drug, which is already, as I say, going to people who need drugs, a lot of drugs, to keep the AIDS at bay.
Right.
He can do that. He can do that. I mean, it's not illegal to do that.
Well, he owns the license to it, but what they really need is someone to just come up with something pretty much the same.
There's probably some regulation. That's why the FTC are investigating. There's some regulation as to, you know, what you can do with a drug, what you can't. But the fact is that when somebody makes a drug, creates a drug in this country, they put a price on it, and whatever the market will stand, you know, basically. So,
do you want to live or do you want to die? And that's how they play you.
You either want to pay for it or you don't.
Right.
Now, this is a terrible story, and everybody...
It's awful. I remember this guy.
I don't know anybody who is backing this guy, who's saying that this guy's done the right thing, you know.
I know a number of people who stand behind him. They're called pharmaceutical companies.
Well, all his shareholders will stand behind him.
His shareholders will, right. Yeah. That's right, yeah. So, now, here's my problem with this story.
Go on.
This guy's clearly an ass. There's no doubt about it.
No doubt.
Right. However, the hospitals and the insurance companies do this all the time. This is not a new thing. The difference between an insurance company that does this and him is he's going to jail. He's probably not going to jail, but he's in trouble and they're not. Because, and I'll tell you, I've got personal experience of this. A drug that I take for psoriasis has gone up recently from $50 a month to $579 a month. And it just went up like that,
right,
with no explanation and no apology, nothing. They just said, we've put it in a different group. We have groups of drugs that cost certain amounts of money. You have a co-payment on all of these drugs, all different co-payments. And that drug, which was in Class A, is now in Class B. And Class B costs $579 a month.
I know.
Not even an apology, nothing. So it's happened to me, thankfully. I'm not going to die of psoriasis. Although I'm going to get pretty scabby over the next few months.
No, you're not, because I'm going on a campaign. I want it in Group C.
I'm going to smear myself with butter instead. but you know, other people, that particular drug is not just used for psoriasis. It's also used for Crohn's disease,
right,
which is pretty nasty, and various kinds of arthritis, which are very painful. And those people are going to have to pay the price for those drugs.
Do you know what the best one is? When you have a child born with a hole in the heart.
What happens there? How do they fill the hole?
Well, I went through it. I mean, when you go to the hospital...
Were you born with a hole in your heart, Dad?
No, lavender was.
Oh, really? Didn't
you? Yeah,
know
and I just... I'd never... You know what I'm like. I have no awareness to anything until I'm right in the middle of it. And it was the same with, like, insurance and everything. Thank God Faith knew what she was doing, because I used to look at these people and I'm like, did you lose your humanity at some point? It's like, let's deal with this now and then deal with the money later. No, they want you to die first.
What do you think, Mike? You're keeping away from this discussion.
I'm very, very quiet, aren't I?
You've worked with pharmaceutical companies.
I work with pharmaceutical companies. So what you're not saying is what happened to you had nothing to do with the pharmaceutical company. It was all about the insurance company. Right.
Right? Okay. Yeah, that's right.
And they have laws.
Although, it must be said that a dose of this stuff, if you buy it straight from the pharmaceutical company outside of insurance, is many thousands of dollars. If you buy it from Canada, which you can do, It's over $2,000 a shot.
Yeah.
For this
and,
stuff.
And the here's the underline of the whole thing is that consumers in the United States pay for the drugs for the rest of the world, and that's got to stop.
Okay.
The reason we pay the most is so that countries in Africa don't have to pay. And why you're able to pay so much less in Canada is because the United States pays so much more.
You think that's
we
really
are,
true?
It's absolutely the truth.
Really?
We are paying for the drug development costs of the world.
I think that's probably what the pharmaceutical companies would say. But here's the thing about that. Here's my argument about that.
Yes.
I get it. I don't think they should run at a loss. Nobody's saying that any business should run at a loss. Yes. That would be crazy.
Yes.
Right? That'd be insane. However, you're not making flat screen televisions. You're making drugs that people need in order to live.
And your perspective about it is that it should be socialized. And that is a absolutely legitimate perspective.
That's not my argument.
What's your argument?
My argument is that there shouldn't be profiteering from drugs that people need in order to be healthy.
So are you depending on individuals or are you depending on the government?
I'm not giving an answer. I'm not giving an answer or a system that would work better. But what I'm telling you is that when you make a drug that people need in order to be healthy, you're not making a flat screen TV. So you can't, if the flat screen TV manufacturers said tomorrow, hey, we're all getting together and they're going to be $10,000 a piece, these things, we'd all go, well, I'll make a decision. I'll either buy it or I won't. But it's not a flat screen TV. This is a drug that people need to be healthy.
I believe that there should be fair profits and for these companies. However, the question is, what's a fair profit? Do you know how much it takes to develop a drug?
Yes.
We know that it takes many, many, or billions of dollars,
it takes $1.4 billion, and
okay.
It takes 12 years to develop one product, and 5,000 don't get developed for every one that does get developed.
But we're happy to spend billions on other things. We spend billions on going around the world, marching around, telling people how to live their lives. We spend billions on all kinds of things every week. Every
yes,
month.
All I'm saying is that there should be a fair return
okay.
for the people who are willing to risk... Right. The risk in developing drug development is enormous.
What about
and it's all funded by individual investors. It's not funded by the government. Maybe that's the answer.
Maybe that is the answer.
But for the investors who are risking their money, there should be a fair return. Right. That's all I'm saying.
I think that's true. The investor risking their money should be a fair return. So you've got to find a way to make it fair and make it. But also not make the end user pay extortionate amounts of money in order to stay alive and be healthy when these drugs exist. See what I'm saying?
All you have to do is move to Africa and it'll be much cheaper for you.
Listen, you know, in Britain, what the government does, the government says to the drug manufacturer, you got this drug? Yeah, we'd like to buy it. We're going to buy 1 billion packets of this stuff. How much is it? And the drug company goes, it's $1,000 a shot. And they go, no, it's not. It's $5 a shot. Thank you very much. And that's it. Or you don't get to sell it.
And that is exactly a socialist perspective. So watch out for the socialist snowplows.
Oh, God forbid we should have socialist snowplows, right. It's, you know, people argue against that stuff until they get psoriasis.
The funny thing is, I'm a liberal. So, I'm arguing for capitalism.
You don't want to
get
that.
So let's move on. Isn't this a rock and roll show?
I know, but I know you are, but you're good at arguing the opposite side.
I just did it to see how much of a rise I can get out of you.
No, you did well. Thank you very much.
Your psoriasis is showing up right now.
Get the F out of here. Wherever you are in the world, you're with KX93.5, it's Laguna's only FM, actually. Mike Walburn's here, and so is Daniel Barnes.
I like this music.
Do you like this? It's very fiddly-diddly.
Howie!
Right.
It's Burns night tonight.
No, it's not, is it?
Yes,
is it really? Seriously?
Yes, it's Burns night.
A wee and timorous beastie.
I thought that's what you were doing. You were taking us all the way from Australia,
no, Tars. This is actually Irish music. We do put some
stuff. It is really,
Scottish music on.
Why not?
Yeah.
Rod Stewart? Hey, I'm sailing. It's not right, is it? As soon as bagpipes start, I just run for cover. It's like, I feel embarrassed. I feel uncomfortable.
Mike Wallman and I went to see Graham Nash the other night, and the opening act was a load of pipers. It was a piper band. And they did a load of all this noodly, silly piper music.
What were they peeping?
I don't know. Like, stuff like this.
Ah.
They did Amazing Grace.
Yeah.
It was to honor all the people that had died.
Did they do
in the music industry.
Did
That's
they do
right.
that song, Do You Think I'm Sexy by Rod Stewart?
It'd be good on the pipes, wouldn't it?
Did you see that on Have You So I Married an Axe Murderer with Mike Myers?
Yeah, good movie.
The guy passes out in the solo, you know, like da 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 clank.
Oh, yeah, clank, and then he's gone.
Yeah, the paper down. The paper is dune.
Listen, you could sing
Do You Think the Paper.
I can prove to you that you can actually sing that song along with this. Do you think I'm sexy?
Do you want my body? Do you want to stay down the glen?
I in a frozen Mars bar to you two.
You got it. You know what? You can't. With Rod Stewart, you just have to. Do you think I'm sexy? Do you want my body? Okay. Come on, baby, let me know.
You've got to be confident and forthright. That's correct.
Yeah.
All right, Mike. Let's do some music stuff, shall we?
Yes, sir.
Go on then. What would you like to say?
Oh well, the day after, you know, Glenn Frey died a couple weeks ago, and everybody's been saying, where is the 93.5 tribute. How come they haven't played a whole day of Glenn Frey music Bowie?
Please don't.
Is it because...
That's so not fair. Tyler's not here to defend me. I said no to Glenn Frey Day.
Thank you.
But anyway, even though you did not honour Jason Fetty, and
we
you will
did.
Go...
We played some Eagles music that day, but he's not... Listen, Glenn Frey, all right. You know, well, legendary band, Eagles.
If the Eagles died, that'd be different. If the whole Eagles died,
all
they'd
of
get...
them. That's right. If they'd all been killed in an airline, in a plane crash.
If they did a Lynyrd Skynyrd and they were all gone, we'd have an Eagles Day, mate. It's like Glenn Frey.
They weren't socialist enough for you?
What is he...
Is that the problem?
Right, they should have all died. It's not one individual dying. That's entirely... That's fascist, right-wing, conservative conspiracy. When they all die at once.
Right.
For each other. It's a communal thing. It's... You know,
well, instead of going down this road, let me say what I was going
to say. From each according to his ability, to each according to his need. You should all have died. That Karl Marx said that.
So basically you're saying because David Bowie died and it was a solo act.
That's why in our
house... That's the whole thing.
In our house, we drink tea, right? My wife drinks tea. But she never drinks proper tea because proper tea is theft.
Okay.
Karl Marx said that.
Anyway, going back to Glenn Frey.
Right, go on.
the day after he died, Springsteen played in Chicago.
Yeah.
And he came out for his encore and played a version of Take It Easy, him and his fiddle player. And it's been released, and I thought you'd like to hear it. So a tribute to Glenn.
All right. So I think I've got it here. Let me figure out if I can play it. I think I can. I think if I hit that button there. And hit this button here. It's a lot of buttons.
Well, if you can't, just play a David Bowie song.
No,
kidding.
Has Springsteen done a Bowie song?
No,
he did Rebel Rebel.
Did he? Good for him.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, good lad. Brilliant. Who's he hoping dies this week, do you think?
Jason Fetty.
I'd be stoked.
He's going to be doing Green Lights tomorrow in Madison Square Garden tomorrow night.
I'd be really chuffed. That'd be great. You'd be pleased, wouldn't you? If you did that song. You'd be in two minds. You'd be like, I'm sad that my friend Jason died. That's really sad. On the other hand, Springsteen did one of his songs.
Yeah, and I'd bring it in to play it on the Waldman's Wardrobe.
All right, it's Springsteen and the E Street Band, and they're doing... Take It Easy. Take It Easy by the Eagles.
Well, I'm running down the road trying to loosen my load. I got seven women on my mind. That wanna stone me, one says she's a friend of mine. Take it easy, take it easy. Don't let the sound of your own wheels drive you crazy. Lighten up while you still can. Don't even try to understand. Just find a place to make your stand. Take it easy. I'm standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona, such a fine sight to see. It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. Come on, baby, don't say maybe. I gotta know if your sweet love is gonna save me. We may lose, we may win, but we will never be here again. So open up, I'm climbing in. Take it easy. I Running down the road, trying to loosen my load. Got a world of trouble on my mind. I'm looking for a lover who won't blow my cover. She's so hard to find. Take it easy, take it easy. Don't let the sound of your own wheels make you crazy. Come on, baby, don't say maybe. I gotta know if your sweet love is gonna save me. Take it easy. I'm gonna take it easy. We gotta take it easy. On and take it easy.
KX935. It's KX935. It's Laguna's only FM. That was the sound of Bruce Springsteen, of course. Unmistakable sound of him singing Take It Easy by the Eagles. He makes it sound all right, doesn't he?
Heartwarming.
Nice tribute.
Yeah, it's a nice tribute.
It was heartfelt.
I hate the Eagles. Can't help it. But I just want to say it out loud so that people know. Big Lebowski, see? I'm on the Big Lebowski side of town. Comes to the Eagles. Sorry about that. It's just not my thing. Folk boy band, I thought.
You're getting a lot of agreement here. You can tell.
No, you know what?
The agreement is deafening.
There's people driving around town completely agreeing with me.
I'm horrified. You know,
there are people driving around town coming to string you up right now.
I'll save you, mate. I'm in there with you. I'm not the biggest Eagles fan. No, I like the Eagles music, some of the songs.
So
but this
boring.
Whole, the Don Henley, didn't he wear a spoon around his neck for a while?
I don't have anything to say about them personally. As human beings, I've no idea. But the music is sappy crap. Sorry.
It's kind of the ethos of Laguna Beach music, don't you think?
No, it's not. There's all sorts of things going on in Laguna Beach musically.
If there's 10 people playing in Laguna Beach on any night,
right.
9 of them are playing an Eagles song.
Right.
That is the truth.
That was gave me a really stink eye when you said
and
that.
And the one.
And you're as disgusted by that as I am.
And you're the only one who's not.
No, it's the didgeridoo guy.
I can do Desperado. People ask for it. And I can do, if you put enough money in the tip jar, I'll do Hotel California.
That's a tribute.
I'm not entirely a socialist. I have my price at the end of the day. Anyway, hey, listen, it's very nice of you to come in this morning, you guys.
Very nice to be here.
I hate doing this stuff on my own. It's lovely to have people here just to talk to. And it's been great fun. And we just sat around pallying it up, as we always do.
Yeah.
So it's nice. Great. Mike Waldman will be in tomorrow for Waldman's Wardrobe of Musical Wonderfulness. What's happening tomorrow on that?
Yes.
Oh, we've got some music from the Johnny Cash TV show.
Ooh. Okay,
which
yeah.
is really interesting.
Yeah.
We've got studio outtakes from John Lennon's last album.
Okay.
Which is really incredible.
I should imagine that colorful.
Yeah, well, a beautiful, beautiful version of Beautiful Boy.
Yeah.
And I brought that in especially for Jason because he will always listen to John Lennon.
I will, but you know, I always feel sorry. That song makes me feel sorry for Julian because the song was written for Sean.
Yes.
And Julian didn't get that. He got the cash, I know, at the end of the day.
Yes, he didn't get the love.
He didn't get the love, and that's really probably upset him.
Aww.
Do you think he's upset about that?
I once was in the men's urinal in Monaco. Peeing next to him, and he didn't seem upset in the least.
Next to Julian Lennon?
Yes, next to Julian Lennon. He didn't seem upset at the least.
He
had a nice, steady flow.
Well, he got over all this about 2 years ago.
Listen.
When the check cleared.
Pretty much.
About 25 years ago, I wrote a song with him. Julian Lennon? And the song has been lost to the time now. I don't know what, I can't remember what it was. But
I hate Yoko Ono.
Well, and I wanted to, at the time he was doing his own thing, and he had very short hair. And he was and he was just trying to be himself, but he's got that Lennon look, So I always thought, I wanted to say to him, and I knew I wasn't allowed to say this, but I always wanted to say to him, why don't you get yourself some round glasses, mate? Grow your hair long and just be John Lennon too. You'll make a fortune. But he was writing pop songs. But I did one nice thing. We played at Break for the Border in London, and he got up with me and we did a song, and then he got off the stage, and my girlfriend at the time arrived late. She hadn't seen this. So I said to him, will you go in the dressing room and just go and hang out in there, and I'll send my girlfriend in. And I sent her in, and she got the big shock because Julian Lennon was in the thing, was in the dressing room. So that was nice.
Clothes on or off?
I never asked her.
Anyway.
I don't know.
And then we will also be playing some live Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Brilliant. Brilliant. All right. Dan, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
See you on Sunday for Full English Breakfast.
You will.
Very nice. And Mike tomorrow, of course, for Waldman's Wardrobe of Musical Wonderfulness. It's KX 93.5. I'm up next.